As a cooper with Irish Distillers, Killian O'Mahony gets to work with wood every single day.
We're dealing with things like chestnut casks, cherry casks, acacia casks, oak from different regions all over the world. And no matter what repair or what disrepair it's in, you know you can get it to a new lease of life.
Paul McLaughlin from Kelvin Cooperage in Kentucky shares that passion for the craft of coopering.
When I'm standing over the toasting fires and sticking my head in a barrel that we've just toasted to the right sweet spot, there's nothing like that smell. And you get excited about that and think, God, whatever goes in here is going to taste amazing.
In 2017, the pair worked together as part of Killian's apprenticeship and forged a strong relationship that continues to this day.
There was a lot of big moments there that kind of shaped who I am now as a cooper, as an employee, and also as a human being going through this life.
In this episode of A Perfect Blend, we're following the curious paths taken by Irish Distillers' first new cooper in four decades, and an ex-lawyer who runs one of the foremost cooperages in the world. We'll also explore the shared passion that brings them together, the ancient craft of making and repairing wooden barrels, coopering.
It's a whole tradition, it's a whole craft, it's a whole trade on its own, and it's mind-blowing.
I'm Julian Clancy, the host of A Perfect Blend, a four-part mini-series from Irish Distillers. In each episode, we'll speak to creators and craftspeople in the world of Irish whiskey, whose work is interwoven with partners across the globe. And through their eyes, discover the power of collaboration. Episode 1, The Cooper's Eye. For Killian, the journey into working with wood began not in the cooperage, but at the back of his house, in his hometown of Blarney in County Cork.
One of the biggest things about Blarney for me was that we had the woods. Literally on the edge of the estate, beyond the green. And kind of as you're growing up and you're learning about people who work with their hands, and that's where your interest is. And you're learning, like, there's people that turn trees. And I know this might sound silly, but something that grows from the ground and that's reaching for the sky, that people actually form these into functioning objects. It just fascinated me. It amazed me. It still amazes me, to be honest, to this day. And it's something that I don't think I'll ever lose the respect for.
For Paul McLaughlin, who runs Kelvin Cooperage, coopering was something he grew up with. His father had first set up his own cooperage in Glasgow in the 1950s. And as a young seven-year-old, it was always there in the background.
So the cooperage was a big presence in my childhood, all growing up. I knew about it, and it was always a treat to go and visit it. You know, even today, it's an incredibly evocative stepping into a cooperage that the noise and the smell instantly hit you.
There was five in Paul's family, two boys and three girls, and it was always assumed that Paul's older brother, Kevin, would follow in his father's footsteps and take over the running of the family business.
I think my brother thought he thought he could make a go of it and didn't really see any other options, maybe. Whereas I was a bit more into my schoolwork than he was, so you know, it was always there. It was something interesting to talk about, but I'd never had any inkling that one day I would even entertain joining the company.
Killian's godfather was a builder, and as a young fella, Killian worked on the building sites, lifting blocks or pushing a wheelbarrow around. But his real passion was to gain a trade with wood.
I went to college in Stefanefa in Cork, and it was the first place I actually learned that you could bend wood. Like, this is how, like, naive and how little of an understanding I had of working with wood. It was crazy when I cut into oak for the first time. The smell of it just stopped me, because I couldn't get the smell of whiskey out of my nose. It took about a year and a half to actually understand what I was actually smelling. It wasn't that the oak smelled like whiskey, but that whiskey smells like oak.
In Killian's final year, Irish Distillers approached the college. They were on the lookout for someone talented and hardworking to start an epic 4-year apprenticeship in coopering.
And I'll be dead honest with you, I hadn't a clue what coopering was. So even as the interviews were going along, I just started getting obsessed with reading as much information about it as I could, looking into the history of it and the importance of it, and it's mind-blowing. Everything that was ever transported was more than likely put in a barrel. Like, everybody in every house would have had a coopered vessel, and like, whether it be a pail, a bucket, utensils for your kitchen. And then it kind of hit me, there wasn't really many coopers left. There was maybe two or three at the time in the whole country, and it seemed to be a history rather than a current state of what's happening now. And here's this huge respectful company with one of the biggest brands in the world and the best Irish whiskey in the world that are now about to invest in somebody's future and the future of a craft that's been around throughout human history.
While working with wood was almost like a lifelong calling for Killian, for Paul, it wasn't so simple. Paul's family relocated from Glasgow to California in 1991. Paul's brother, Kevin, moved to Louisville in Kentucky and set up Kelvin Cooperage. So while Kevin was busy building an empire of bourbon barrels, his younger brother, Paul, was busy becoming a lawyer.
Everything was kind of falling into place. I met my wife in law school. She worked at the same firm as I did. You know, we were on track to have a long career in law.
After graduating, Paul and his wife both got jobs at the same legal firm, with big dreams of becoming junior partners in their 40s.
Right when we started, there was a big bump in salaries, and I remember our managing partner, we were kind of celebrating, oh, this is great, we haven't even started work yet, and our salary's gone way up. And he said, well, yeah, but we're going to make you pay for it.
As it turned out, law wasn't quite as stimulating as they thought it was going to be. And after a few years of being buried under mountains of paperwork, they wanted to try something else.
So we were, my wife and I were very quickly looking for a way out.
Kelvin Cooperage was the next logical step.
But, you know, I think there was definitely an element in the very beginning, like, what's he doing here, you know? And you know, bear in mind, I had to learn everything from scratch. You know, I kind of knew the bare bones of it, but I had to learn it all from scratch.
Paul never did quite master the skills of a full-blown cooper like his brother Kevin, but instead he worked on building relationships with clients and helping the business become the success it is today.
And we've been a part of so many of those stories that are now really successful brands that have kind of changed the trajectory of a lot of these people's and their families' lives, you know, for the better. And we're part of that kind of history of their brands now, and that is fantastic. So that never gets old.
Paul wasn't the only person who had to learn the world of coopering from scratch. Killian had no idea what a cooper did.
You know nothing. I didn't know what a hammer and driver were. I didn't know the components of a barrel. I didn't know the staves, the hoops. So you're literally learning the vocabulary and everything.
Despite all that, Killian jumped at the chance and became the very first cooper to be appointed by Irish distillers in over 40 years. First stop on Killian's 4-year apprenticeship was Scotland.
In Scotland is the first time he was introduced to the hammer and driver. So you've got this like 2 or 3 kilo head of a hammer, and you're basically swinging as hard as you can with good technique on the top of that driver to drive those hoops down, because you're swinging your sharp tools through oak, which is notoriously one of the hardest woods to work with.
Killian spent over a year in Scotland learning from the masters of the trade, but nothing could have prepared him for the next stage of his apprenticeship, the intensity of a very hot Spain.
They put me inside in the fire room. You've got big oak fires, underground, shooting flames up through this flue, that you've got a 500 litre sherry cask that you're about to bend, or that you've already bent, that you're charring or toasting. And the heat on top of the 37 degrees outside, the heat in the fire room, and just a pure grip strength. Like, it's all forearm work, it's all traditional work. I had to pull over on the way home because my forearms were just dead.
Killian then went on to complete the final leg of his 4-year apprenticeship at Kelvin Cooperage, which today is one of the foremost cooperages in the world.
Kentucky was a whole different experience. It was the first time that I felt like I was kind of maybe above the weeds, if that makes sense, that I could now kind of raise my head off the block and off the barrel, and seeing that entire process, not just of, okay, I'm a cooper here on the bench repairing barrels day in, day out. It was, here's the entirety of the industry and how it looks. And it was a big eye-opener, broadened the horizons for me. It was a very, very cool experience with those guys.
When Killian came to us, we're like, oh, we can have access to a guy who's just spent time in Scotland and Spain and the time he's had already in Ireland. Like, yeah, bring it on. We definitely learned stuff from Killian that we still use today.
It's been 4 years since Killian and Paul have seen each other in person, and a lot has changed. Sadly, Paul's brother Kevin passed away from cancer, and Killian is now a dad.
Hey!
Oh, there he is.
How are you getting on?
Killian, how are you doing?
Very good. Great to see you, Paul. How are you, man?
Doing all right. Doing all right. How's family life?
No, it's great, man. He's flying. He started walking like in the last week unassisted. So we're like, okay, what do we have to stop now? What do we have to defend?
Yeah, your life has changed forever.
Yeah, right in the thick of it.
You really are.
For this very first episode of the podcast, we wanted to get the two of them together to explore how a passion for the world of coopering has helped shape who they are today. Killian's grandfather was originally a blacksmith at Middleton Distillery over 100 years ago. But while doing some research for this podcast, Killian discovered that the craft of coopering can be traced back in his family to the 1800s.
So, Killian, I understand you've done some research into your family history on coopering. What did you find out?
It was actually your family history, yourself and Kevin working together and kind of taking the business over from your dad, that kind of spurred me looking to the other side of my family and the O'Mahony side to find out about a guy called Henry O'Mahony. Apparently, he's my great-great-granduncle. And when he was 15, he was enrolled into the trade of coopering. And he was literally working in Cork as a domestic cooper. So there's all like more pails, tankards, buckets, kitchen utensils and stuff. And when he was 20 years of age, right, in 1862, his brother, who was already in New York, paid his seafare to get on a boat and head over to the States with nothing but his coopering skills with him. And eventually got his couple of hundred acres and started ranching in West Texas. And the family lineage of the O'Mahonys are still over there on the same ranch today. Insane.
That is amazing.
It's mental, like, isn't it? So it was more kind of like your family, like the idea of literally being trained as a cooper, taking the skills that you have and heading to the States. It's a pastime for Irish people and Scottish people to go over there, like, you know.
It's been on for hundreds of years and still going on now.
That's kind of what drove your father towards Kentucky, like, was it? With the bourbon industry and what was already set up there for coopering, like.
At that point, the cooperage in Scotland, what we were doing was buying bourbon barrels in Kentucky, bringing them over to Scotland and repairing them there. So he had the light bulb moment. Well, wait, hang on, why don't we repair them in Kentucky and then ship them, so we're only shipping the good stuff, not the bad stuff. Simple idea, but it was the right idea at the right time.
Smart business move, cut out the middleman.
Yeah, well, just, you know, you're not shipping bad wood then, you're only shipping good wood.
Yeah, no, it makes
sense. So that when you open the doors on those containers, you know it's all really good wood.
Come here, you have no idea the sigh of relief that I breathe when I see a Kelvin tag coming in on the containers, because it's the shape of them, it's where the hoops land, it's the toasting level that you put on, like everything that you kind of taught me while I was over there, the whole technical process of the barrel making itself. Man, when I see those B-naughts coming in, it's just a dream. It's just, inspect, they're going to be great, send them on, and they're just sitting there perfect. So yeah, you're not lying.
good man, Killian. He's not on our payroll, Julian, you have to know that.
There are over 150,000 barrels that arrive into Midleton every single year, and each one of them has to be inspected by eye. For this, Killian uses his most invaluable tool. It's called the Cooper's Eye.
There's no measurement tools. There's no rulers or measuring tapes when you're repairing a barrel or taking staves in or putting them out or changing out pieces of the head. It is literally by eye. It's like on a small scale. You know when you get a brand new red car and then you drive down the road and suddenly all you're seeing is red cars everywhere. It's when the Cooper's Eye is trained in, you can't not see the things that you're picking up. So whether it be holes or cracks in the staves or defects that you need to adjust, it is a real thing, and it's something that takes a while to train in. But Cooper's Eye, it's the way to go. My most trusted measuring tool.
Yeah, my brother was always telling you that we're a for-profit cooperage.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
the barrels are lovely and all that, but...
The barrels are lovely. Put that to one side and realize what we're doing here. Yeah, no, in fairness. There was, I'm sure I've said it too before about how much of a mentor Kevin was to me, as well as everybody else that he came in contact with, but also just literally as a human being and understanding the nuances of human beings and what we need to do and the attitude that Kevin brought every day, whatever type of attitude people thought that was, it was one of the best it was one of the best attitudes that I came across, because it changed my trajectory a lot. And what he did for me, you know.
That's lovely to hear. Was I around at all?
Well, you were. there was a moment. The place you took me to. There was a course that people were doing, a distilling course, and learning all about whiskey and the processes and stuff. And you you took me along to that, thankfully, because for you to explain to those people while I'm there and me listening in to how your cooperage works and how you do it, that was eye opening for me as well.
Yeah, it was a place called Moonshine University, and it was a group of distillers who were building their own distilleries. So, you know, when I show them a rough stave that's straight and unplaned and unjointed, and I show them the process, look, we're going to take this and we're going to make it, we're going to bend it and fit it together with 32 other ones that are all randomly sized with no glue and nothing in between. We're going to make this magical joint with these magical measurements, and we're going to make it all come together, and it'll be watertight. And then on top of that, we're going to toast it and char it over only oak on little pots, and we're going to generate these amazing kind of baked bread, marzipan-y smells that you will instantly recognize, that will transport you back to a kitchen that's baking some of the best food you've ever had. And we're going to put that all together, and then they're going to put whiskey in it that's going to taste amazing. I mean, it is. It's completely magical.
There's a lot of things that you're after saying there, Paul, that are after hitting home for me as well. Obviously, standing inside those fires, around the fires and charring the barrels, that was, one of the most intense memories for me being over in Kelvin. But you feel the magic when you're in toasting them, and you can smell it. And I was telling a story earlier about when I was, from very, very young, I knew the magic that were in the forests. I knew that there was something to the trees that were much more than what we were seeing, you know. And growing up, that's what I've chased. That's literally what I've chased right now, up to now, and even going forward. But over with you guys and seeing all that put together, you kind of forget that this is what you see every day. So as you described, when you're explaining to people, you almost forget about the small things that you learned along the way.
You know, the other thing, when I go home after standing by the toasting fires, my kids know that smell now too, and they love it. They're like, oh, Daddy, you smell like the cooperage. You know, and that's fantastic.
My father was in the Navy, so when he came home, it smelled diesel and engines and metal. And it's those things that stick with you. And when I first currant oak, working with it in college, I smelled whiskey. I smelled that smell. I smelled oak. My son is smelling that when I come home. He's smelling the fires. He's smelling the char. He's smelling the magic that we're creating at work. It's incredible. But what's the one of the biggest things for me about that magic is that it doesn't stop when you're finished. When I'm finished making the barrels or repairing the barrels, or when you're finished making the barrels and those barrels are sold, those are going down for a new lease of life. And we've got over 1.6, I think we're reaching on 1.7 million barrels in our warehouses, just breathing magic, as you said, every day.
Kevin and I used to always say, this is all we can do now, you know, so we have to make it work. We're not going to do anything short term, because we want to be doing this for a long time. So when you've got that long term window on things, it forces you to do things the right way.
A huge thank you to Killian O'Mahony and Paul McLaughlin for being our guests on this episode of A Perfect Blend. Recording in Louisville, Kentucky was carried out by Calvin Kennedy Cochran. On the next episode of A Perfect Blend, we'll dive deep into the belly of some of the biggest copper pot stills in the world and explore how they're still made by hand at Forsyth's in Scotland.
The satisfaction of seeing that finished article, it's unbelievable.
I'm Julian Clancy, the host of A Perfect Blend. You can listen back to all four episodes now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Always drink responsibly.